This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Peter Rosenberg!
Shout out to that guy, Red.
The majesty.
Oh, my goodness.
It's professional wrestling.
Stay mage and enjoy yourself.
It's still rooted.
Delicious chicken.
It was repug.
It's professional wrestling.
What can we keep going about? The show hasn't started. I guess we could hit the intro and then, you know, just cold open with no real intro because we've been given the keys to what is now a runaway train.
I'm excited for my first WrestleMania. I'm actually legitimately excited to go.
Right, because you didn't get to go.
I had the flu in Dallas.
Yeah, and then you missed Hollywood.
Yeah, but this seems like a good first one. 40, The Rock is back.
Exactly.
I'm not excited for the actual wrestling. That's still hard for me to watch. But vibes, excitement, atmosphere, the show. Yeah. You know, being in the arena for a UFC, big UFC, like pay-per-view, like that's cool. But it seems like WWE is probably on another level.
Oh, yeah. It's the greatest show on earth at this point. There's, you know, if you had used that phrase before, you might be thinking the circus, even the Super Bowl, if you say the greatest show in sports entertainment, you might be thinking, oh, you know, people describe WrestleMania as our Super Bowl. This is bigger than the Super Bowl. Better. This has long surpassed the Super Bowl in terms of pageantry. Maybe the Super Bowl still has prestige, but yeah. It's like, you know, British monarchy prestige, where it's just literally on paper. Some people still pay it respects, but the real cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Is
like what big is there anything bigger in terms of like an in?
Oh, did we already start?
Oh, I mean, we are recording, so.
Oh, well, good afternoon. Hey, it's the world's largest, greatest, it's the world's number one sports and recreation podcast, Cheap Heat, Tuesday, March 26th. The voice you hear is that of Stat Guy Gred, the physically large in Philadelphia.
That's right.
You also hear Troy the Goy. He's here. Hey, Troy. We turned his mic on. This is exciting.
Hi.
There it is. Dipperstein is not with us. He is dealing with a very, very busy work season and said he was too busy and was not in the headspace to give us the time and energy that he needed. And I'm glad because this is not an episode where Dip could show up not being caught up after last night. But before we get into last night, Troy, what were you just asking SGG before we started?
So we were talking about WrestleMania. This is going to be the first WrestleMania event I've attended. I went to Dallas a few years ago, but I caught the flu, so I wasn't able to actually attend the events of the weekend. So I'm very excited for this. And we were thinking, because I was telling him, I've been to UFC pay-per-views. It's an electric atmosphere. But what I've gathered from WWE, especially WrestleMania, the entertainment factor, the in-arena experience is just on a completely different level. And then I was thinking, is there actually anything in the world outside of sports that is bigger than WrestleMania? Is there any other thing that has the pageantry, the pyrotechnics, the whole, the decibel meter? Is there any other event in the world? Is it like, you know, the Brazilian fest that I went to?
Include sports. There's nothing bigger than WrestleMania. There's nothing bigger in sports or entertainment than WrestleMania. I know people are going to say, oh, well, you have the Olympics. But the Olympics doesn't bring the excitement that WrestleMania brings every year.
The Olympics just isn't really, the events aren't good. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm just being honest.
They have to go, I'll give them the opening ceremony. It might be
even that's probably
WrestleMania's opening ceremony.
But there's really just going to be a few moments of that have the pageantry. Like, it's kind of boring. Like, honestly, let's be honest, guys. With all due respect, the Olympics are mostly trash. Yeah. Okay.
Whoa.
World Cup is fire, but there's so many games, you know. I'm sure the final is awesome, but the final only truly affects two countries.
Right. And that's who packs those stadiums, and those two countries are really, that's who's bringing the energy at the finals. You know what I mean? Like,
see, here's the thing. Like, if you, there people are talking, you know, the final for the World Cup will be here in New York. At MetLife Stadium,
New Jersey. Yeah,
which is repug, but whatever.
Yeah, that was the worst. They had so many options and they chose the worst stadium.
It's NFL. Not the worst in the country, but it's not tight at all. There's nothing.
It's
dope.
Like bottom three. I was gonna say top three from the bottom. It's definitely
it's bad
on the podium of worst stadiums.
But it's hard to explain why it's worse, right? It's not a dump. It's not nasty and in bad shape at all. It's just not, there's just nothing nice or dope about it, essentially.
Right.
It's not nasty.
It suffices.
It totally suffices. Like, I, trust me, the Commanders play at an actual dump. You like, Josh Harris, the owner of the Commanders, literally is rebuilding like the complete infrastructure, trying to make it as passable as possible before they move, hopefully back to DC. But it's a dump. MetLife is not a dump. It's just not dope. So anyways, that stadium, if you're crazy enough to fork over the kind of money they're talking about, where you're talking about four figures to sit in the 400 levels, you have to be from those countries. You can't just be a football/soccer enthusiast who's so into it that you're spending $2,500 to see a team you don't have in your heart and soul. Like, nah, I could never. WrestleMania.
Yeah, you better own the flag before you even think about buying the ticket.
Like, WrestleMania, the greatest thing about it is that it's not competitive sports. The best thing about it is the thing that non-wrestling fans hate on about it. You know, it's not a real competition. Yeah, I know. And that's why it's a guaranteed great show every single time. Why is the only thing that's entertaining competition? Like, that's not the only thing I enjoy about, you know, sports. I enjoy a lot of things about it.
Not to jump in, I'm going to let you finish cooking because you really are cooking right now. But
thank you. I appreciate you.
When people bring up the competition aspect of sports in terms of like legitimizing it, these are also the same people that try to pull the teeth from the real things that show the domination. Like if a team is blowing out another team and then they dunk, oh, that's not classy. Don't flip your bat if you hit a home run. Don't run up the score if you do it all. I want to see the foot on the neck. I want to see the domination. Do it all. I get there's a competitive aspect of it and there's some sportsmanship of it, but if you don't want to be in that position as the other team, do what you need to do to keep it close, because I want to see domination sometimes.
But only if your team is the one dominating.
Right.
Half the stadium, if that happens, is miserable.
Right.
No matter how much SGG is a crazed Roman Reigns fan, and he's high on the list. You're not as high as they go, by the way, but you're high.
I guess I have some work to do. I got 2 weeks.
Well, yeah. No, you don't. You hang on to being a normal human being just enough, okay? You know what I'm saying? Even if and when, I believe, Roman Reigns loses at WrestleMania, you'd have to be a full-on weirdo if you're an adult who leaves in a bad mood because of the result. You'd have to be a legitimate weirdo. Like, you'd be like, you'd go, really? You're like, whereas at a sporting event, it's not weird. If you went to a sporting event and paid good money to see your team and they played bad and lost, you're in a bad mood. Oh, yeah. It wasn't a fun day. It was a waste of time and money. I never leave a bad loss going, yeah, but I'm glad I went to the game. And that, I'm always nasty and in a bad mood.
And that plays up to the brilliance of pro wrestling, right? Because even though I am cheering for Roman Reigns, and I have been a loyal supporter of Roman Reigns for damn near a decade, maybe more, I know that he's the bad guy. And I know that at some point, right, the rug is going to be yanked out from under me. The moment, the exact moment that it happens, I might not like it because it is still a rug being yanked out from under you.
That's right.
It's wrestling. At the end of the Super Bowl, that is the end of the season. It's done. You have to wallow in that for months until the season starts up again. It's wrestling. I get to sit with that maybe until Monday Night Raw, and then we off to the races again. It just doesn't stop.
I thought SGG would help himself out and say, but I know it's a story, and I just get to enjoy seeing what my character does next on the story.
No, but
he
truly
did go with the full, it's like sports, and I hope he gets his revenge on Monday.
Not even, but I don't know what's going to happen on Monday. That's the beautiful thing about it, right? Like, it takes twists, it takes turns. I know that I'm along for the ride. So even though it might be like a dip that I'm not ready for or whatever, I'm still along for the ride. And it's never ending.
We love wrestling. The point of all of this is we love wrestling. And wrestling's great. And right now, we are less than 2 weeks. Actually, a week from Thursday, we're going to be hanging out with you at Fringe Arts. Right. We were just talking to Troy about his mission, whether he will be on shirt duty or he will be on a ticket duty or both.
I do it all.
I think we're going to have to do for the shirts. You're going to have to either have Venmo or cash. I have to imagine those are the only two options we have, correct?
I think PayPal we can throw that in there.
But do we want to add a third thing?
Honestly, I think that's better than cash because now we have to have change and we have to have exact change.
Do you think you just give people PayPal and Venmo and we say no cash?
Honestly, yeah. I think we've entered that era.
I mean, listen, but if someone were to then hit you on the side and be like, yo, I don't have anything. I need it. I got $40. I think you end up caving. I couldn't very well deny that person, but you don't want to set the tone. We should say what we're accepting are Venmo and PayPal. And in the case of both, we can just have a little printed thing and they can scan it.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right. So that's what we'll do. SGG, the shirts are going to be arriving at your house any day. I don't have the tracking yet, I don't think. But I did get a picture from Matt. Big shout out to Matt Reed, who did the shirts for us this year.
Should I do an unboxing when I get the shirts?
I mean,
I have to, you know what?
Should we unveil? You want to?
We should.
I got to tell you here, I'm gonna forward it to you guys right now.
You'll go viral, Greg, if you do that.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? It's going to be a huge deal.
This is what the people want to see.
All right. I just sent it to all of you guys. The pictures that he sent me of the shirt. It's a really, really beautiful shirt. I hope everyone's into it. So we're going to have that. As of right now, it says there are 15 tickets left. So it's going to be a hard sellout. So we're very excited that everyone's here. There's so many events. I'm also going to be at WWE World that day doing the Michael Kay show from 3 to 6:30.
That's right. I'm looking forward to that.
You got to pop by there. There may be another interview over the course of the weekend. There's going to be other Ringer Wrestling things throughout the weekend. Wale Mania is that night as well, which I'm going to try to make it by at some point. There's a lot happening, guys, and we're very excited. And last night, I don't think I'm exaggerating, SGG, when I say.
Well, I'll tell you.
It was the most Attitude Era feeling Raw I think I've ever seen in the modern era. Thoughts?
Not an exaggeration. To answer your question that you put forth before you set the tone with the statement, not an exaggeration at all, to the point where when Cody Rhodes got close to that river, I said, oh yeah, he's going over. There's all.
Well, the problem is, I don't think that overhang, was that the river Or was that, I think that was more parking lot. That's the scary part.
It looked like river, but either way, I thought Cody Rhodes was going over. I was like, yeah, you got to do it.
It was last night from beginning to end. From the second The Rock's music hit and we finally, yo, it's like they listened to the show.
The surprise.
I just said last week, we love The Rock. Rock is great. Can we get an appearance that's not pre-promoted, please? Can we just get, and what do we get? No Rock promoted. CM Punk was promoted. Rock comes out in Seg 1, gets into it. Was it Seg 1?
It was Seg 1.
It was Seg 1. There's so much to get to. First of all, I don't know if you saw me, I'm not going to say beefing with, because it was all in good, with good intentions and tone.
This is what you do with WrestleMania season. Everybody picks their side, and then it's just banter.
But I don't know if you saw me going back and forth with O'Shea Jackson Jr. over the weekend.
I did. I saw a little bit of it. I saw, because people thought you were, people thought that I was catching a stray.
No, SGG has already caught.
I'm minding my business. I don't know. This is funny. I don't know what's going on.
SGG has already caught that stray, and it's never stray. It's the gun is pointed directly at him, and I'm shooting. It's not a stray. When I call out crazy Roman fans, I'm like, "Hey, SGG." Exactly. So it wasn't at SGG. Basically, O'Shea Jackson Jr., great guy. I had him on the podcast once. We'll have him on again. He was basically sort of going on a toot, if you will, about Cody and Seth are both getting crushed by this moment. Their characters don't mean anything. It's essentially just a song.
That is true of at least one of them, but I'm not going to start any fires.
But you're not going to say anything about, but you don't want to, okay.
Yeah.
So let's leave one person out of it.
Okay. The person that it's true
because
about.
I think we can all agree on this show that what's happening with Seth has problems to it character-wise. I think that maybe we'll see it get fixed, but as of right now, you know, and these days you have to give a lot of let it play out leeway because things are playing out. But we'll get to Seth. I think, by the way, it only got worse last night, in my opinion. But to say that about Cody's character. To say that, like, essentially, he's not really that over, and it's the song, and what's the real story? I don't know if O'Shea hasn't been to a live show himself, but as we've said many times on this show, this man is the most legitimately over good guy since John Cena, and maybe beyond John Cena.
Yeah,
okay?
I'd say beyond.
He is over like Rover, and you may be the world's biggest Roman Reigns fan and you never want him to lose. And you think that Cody's not really the guy. You have every right to believe that if you want, but once you start veering into the Cody story doesn't really exist, you may even be sick of the finish the story thing. I get sick of the finish the story thing. Okay. It's been a bit much. Take that out of it. It doesn't even matter. Cody Rhodes has intangibles that are undeniable right now. He is the dude. I'm not saying it's going to last forever. I'm not saying he's going to have a run as long as Roman Reigns or Hulk Hogan or whoever. I don't know. But right now, for you to watch that segment last Friday or this Monday and come away thinking Cody doesn't matter? Cody's not getting lost in this story. We could have an argument about the people getting lost in this story. And I think, and we'll get into it. I think you can have an argument that both Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins could have a bone to pick with how things have played out. Cody is doing just fine. He is at the, and last night, the way the show ended, if for somehow you haven't seen it yet, and you're like, oh, listen to the show. Don't listen to us right now. I know I shouldn't say that. Come back.
Yeah. Pause it right here. Go pull up the last, well, it was like the last 6 minutes.
No, do the first, do seg one, and then the last 6 minutes of Raw.
Yeah.
And then come back and listen again, because you should enjoy that. If you've been watching wrestling for the last 20 years, waiting for it to feel like the Attitude Era, we suffered through some times, y'all, together.
We did, which is what makes it all the more like, wrestling is booming right now. Business is doing great. But the ones who suffered through the times, like, this is for us.
Guys.
This is for us, man.
guys, we could pull up some random. We could pull up some random WrestleManias.
Seriously.
We really can.
They had one at Hartford, the Hartford Civic Center.
9 or 11?
That was 11.
11.
If you watch the Hartford Civic Center with Lawrence Taylor, main event to with Bam Bam Bigelow, this WrestleMania is for us if you had to sit through that.
I mean, relative to the what was on, I mean, 29 in MetLife, honestly, was not my fave.
Yeah, same.
You're talking about on the
paper,
Miz?
On paper, it had some, okay, this is going to be good.
But now you look back at it, right? Miz and Wade Barrett. The Shield had Big Show, Randy, and Sheamus.
Yeah.
Not a team you actually, not a team you think much of.
No.
Mark Henry and Ryback. Mm. Team Hell No beating Big E and Dolph. Fandango and Jericho.
Fandango won, by the way.
That's correct.
And that was his debut on the main roster.
Alberto Del Rio beat Jack Swagger for the World Heavyweight Championship. Undertaker Punk match, which was okay.
Okay, yeah.
Triple H beat Brock. And then John Cena and The Rock had their match, which was cool. That's a nasty card, guys, relative to right now. That's a nasty card.
That is.
That's just a random one I pulled up.
And that's what they gave us for one night. Can you imagine if we got two nights of that?
If they had tried to stretch that into two nights, SGG? There have been times that were really not so great. So we are all enjoying, and you should enjoy last night and take it all in. So to O'Shea Jackson Jr., great guy. Love how into wrestling you are. Some of these very matter-of-fact takes that fans make, you're missing it. You're overthinking. Y'all are trying too hard to be smart fans sometimes. People love Cody. They're buying his merch. They're singing his song. They're cheering for him. They're waiting for autographs. I'm meeting kids on the street. The parents come up and they go, this is my son. Who's your favorite? Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes. I mean, everyone, please. Cody is in a great spot. Now, Seth caught a stray last night.
Is always in the line of fire. By the
way. Bro, thanks to a riveting segment. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I would say CM Punk and Drew McIntyre really hate each other.
Yo, when I tell you, they were both on fire last night. They were both cooking last night. Like
cooking.
Yo, when Drew McIntyre dropped the "you straight edge, but you're always in rehab" line, I said, oh my God, they're taking it there. They're taking it there. And then when Drew said, I'm the chosen one, and Punk said, who chose you? And all Drew could do was laugh. I said, oh my God, they are taking it.
Yo,
they're lobbing grenades.
Yo, hold on. Let me hit another one. Hold on. Yo, it was incredible. Here's the problem, though. If you want to nitpick now, and by the way, I think, like I said, last night to me was the best night of free television, maybe in 20 years. I mean, it was because, you know, 3 hours is tough. They only had about, and I'm not going to call the segments popcorn segments that they had, but the segments where you could calm down and if you were in the building, actually try to go get a snack, go to the bathroom, buy a shirt. They had maybe two or three in 3 hours.
Maybe.
And that's a maybe. So I'm nitpicking because that's what we do. We have fun. But if I'm to nitpick that, now Drew McIntyre has said, hey, Punk, I want you to be at ringside during my World Heavyweight Championship match against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So Seth Rollins is now not only sort of connected to the bloodline story in a tangential way where he kind of just gets dogged by The Rock all day, but now his own world championship match, he has become what appears to be second fiddle to Drew and CM Punk.
Yeah. He's along for the ride on both rides. Even like the stipulations, both of these matches now have like a thing looming around it. And none of it was Seth's idea. Right? Seth just comes out and is like, okay, I'm cool with that. But you're not the champ, though. You should be like the driving factor in something, in some of this, instead of just being like, okay, Punk as the timekeeper or the commentator, guest commentator, I'm okay with that. You know, this stipulation, bloodline rules, if we lose, I'm okay with that. Like, what are you going to put your foot down on, Seth? That's the question.
It's very, and by the way, but here's the thing. Call me a shill if you want. I have faith that there is some sort of plan for how Seth Rollins doesn't look like a chump.
Yeah. It's called ring the bell, honestly, but the rest of it, like up to that point, it's going to look a little spooky for him.
Yeah, right now it does look a little spooky, and I wonder how he privately feels about it all. But honestly, here's the truth too. Not everybody can be the main piece of everything.
Yeah.
Now, the bigger argument would probably be around what Andrew Goldstein is sounding the alarms for in our group chat, and he's not the only one. That Roman Reigns is being made a bit of an afterthought in the bloodline story at this point because of The Rock's level of animosity towards Cody Rhodes. But isn't that all part of the story for what's going to happen between The Rock and Roman?
I think so. I think so. And I think that's what we predicted, right? That was the obvious thing. Even when Cody introduced Rock to this story, the narrative behind the introduction was, you think that you're at the head of the table? Well, I'm calling in Big Bro. That's how Rock was introduced, right? Big Bro is here to put you in your place and set it straight. So Roman being put in that, like, even though he was acknowledged by The Rock, The Rock's still running around, throwing his weight around. He's still the final boss. He's ultimately still the one that everyone answers to. And casting that shadow over Roman, I think, was always meant to be part of the story.
Like Shania Twain, you're still the one.
Exactly.
Still the one I run to. The one I something to. The one I kiss goodnight.
Yeah.
I agree. I do think there's reason for concern. I get it, but I have faith here that this is leading towards a story. Here's what I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be the Roman sort of turning on The Rock. I don't want, to me, The Rock has entered such despicable territory. I refuse this to be a quick, I refuse for this to be a quick babyface turn again.
Yeah.
He's gotten too far.
He's gone too far, Rock.
He really has. Do you remember where that's from, by the way?
Shoddy.
No, we say it. We say it on the show. Me and Shoddy say it on the show.
No.
But you don't remember what it's from.
No.
I just remember right now. It's from the movie Shottas.
Oh.
There's this dude.
Great movie, by the way.
Great movie. If you've never seen Shottas, you gotta watch Shottas. And okay, it's a cultural classic.
Too. There's a
DJ Young Khaled
cameo that you are not going to believe.
The Young Khaled, Wyclef, it's a great movie. And it got re-released in like 05. It had always been a bootleg. And then it came out for real in like 05, yeah. 06. And there's a part in it, I forget what the dude's name is, but they're in the hot tub. And they come and shoot up the hot tub. And they like kill his girlfriends. And at one point, he's like, you gone too far. It's kind of a sad moment, actually. But we've turned, now Shawnee and I have turned it into just a thing we say. So
I was talking to Crystal about that, too, how like Black people turn these moments that are not supposed to be humorous into punchlines when it comes to like some of these movies. Like they just become punchlines and there's nothing. It just, that's what we do. For whatever reason.
It's a coping mechanism. But guess what? Sometimes it's needed. So I do think The Rock has gone too far to possibly now just be like, haha, just kidding. Andrew Goldstein was speculating in our chat that he was telling Cody, just go with it, like as if they're together. That would have been a bit far. Mama Rhodes?
Yeah.
The wiping the blood? Nah, bruh. That's too hard to, honestly, that to me, that would be stupid. They've gone too far for that.
I don't think Cody would do that either.
Yeah, like why would Cody? Because so then Cody's kind of a heel because he's really cheating. And by the way, back to the Cody thing. Because, you know, a lot of people were complaining about the segment on Friday and how Cody looked weak because he extended his hand to Roman. Yo, Cody didn't look weak at the end of that segment. Cody looked strong. You thought Cody was going to be a sucker who let Roman lie to his face and say, I'm coming alone, and then surprise him with Jimmy and Solo. But how'd the show end? The show ended with Cody saying, no, 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 bro. I brought my backup too, and I'm standing tall with my music playing, and you're retreating. Cody didn't look weak.
Nah.
Just because he extended the hand, he's a good guy. He should extend his hand.
And even when he said at the beginning, like, if you came alone, then so did I. If, that's what he says to Roman, like the first thing. If you came alone, then sure, so did I. We can play that game. Which I think is ultimately going to be how it plays out at Bloodline Rules, right? At night two. Like, we can do this one-on-one, but if you're going to have backup, I also am going to have some backup.
Well said. So this whole narrative, nah. But Drew and Punk, can Punk get back now? I mean, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Last night was when Punk thrives, by the way. See, this is what I was always complaining about in AEW. When they kept giving Punk these very generic storylines that felt like storylines. No, you want Punk running right up against reality. That is when he is at his absolute badass best. Like last night was, mwah, chef, give me that CM Punk. I'll take 5 more years of that CM Punk.
I would have took 50 more minutes of him and Drew.
Yo, I might have to rewatch the whole thing.
But you bring up AEW, and it was ironic to me too. I had the thought that like Punk and Seth and Drew, they really were just in the ring freestyling. Like they were going back and forth, and it just is so funny to me, or I guess I say ironic to me, that the initial thing that caused sort of a rift between him and the rest of the AEW roster was that Adam Page went in there and freestyled with him a little bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
it blows my mind that that he gets to WWE. And now they're so clearly going off the cuff with so many different things.
But you know what I think it is? I've been watching this a bunch recently. I think that with AEW, they have too much freedom all the time.
Mm.
And for whatever reason, when you have too much of it, too much of anything just isn't good. And in WWE, that lack of freedom, if you will, it just, when you do open it up, it feels like something.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, it's really working right now with Punk when it really, to me, barely worked at AEW. And y'all remember, I think AEW is having a major upswing right now. I'm enjoying that show week to week. What it's not doing though is having like great moments like this where Drew and Punk are just going at each other on the microphone. But what you are gonna get though is some fun wrestling. Although last week again, they did the let's put Mercedes on the microphone and have her toss to her own package. It was just not the way that I would be using Mercedes Moné.
Yeah, she could be, you know, I see what they did in Boston, but then I would hold her off until she's ready for a match or ready to insert herself into something in a real way.
SGG, let's go back to last night, shall we?
Yes.
Medically clear, but I'm not looking to have a wrestling match. Why don't you get your in here?
Was that an ass or a bitch ass?
That was a bitch ass.
Oh, Those aren't, that's not piped in noise, baby. Shout to Dipperstein.
I would love to get to that ring right now and beat your arse, but Punk, don't you remember what happened last time we were in the ring together?
How do I do it all?
Oh, great. It is an ad with Kelly Rowland. She doesn't like me. Why did that pop up? Here we go.
I stomped that stupid little arm of yours because you deserved it, and I told you I prayed for this, and it happened.
Hey, hey, hey. Are you a Scottish psychopath in a kilt? Are you an internet troll in a skirt? Let's find out.
This is 2024. You want to get canceled for talk like that?
Love it. I love
it. No, yeah. Tonight's perfect. I couldn't have prayed for this. You're in the ring injured, Punk. We're less than 2 weeks.
By the way, Dip, when you get to watching this, Dip, I need you, and he's not going to hear this because he's not on the episode of the podcast, unfortunately. Someone needs to tell Dip when he watches this, he needs to come back on the show and apologize to Drew McIntyre.
Seriously.
Because this, let's just let this man cook. Here we go.
We're in Chicago. Drew McIntyre is in the world title match. This is divine intervention. That's what this is.
Wrestling gods.
And he's doing a hell of a job not allowing people to what him either.
Manners. Yeah. You know, on the back it says number one in the checklist, injured CM Punk.
Drew McIntyre, I ain't never had to put another man's name on a t-shirt to sell it.
Strong.
That was the first grenade.
Oh, we got another shirt. Two shirts.
Drew rips his shirt off, now shows his Punk shirt.
Struggled to get out of that thing with my bicep, something you've probably never had an issue with. You want to know the most ironic thing about you, Punk? The straight edge thing. What the? You never drink, you never do drugs, yet you spend all your time in rehab.
Bar.
Yeah. I can see in your eyes you don't like me too much and you think I hate you like Seth Rollins. And maybe at one time I hated you and maybe there's issues that need resolve, but no, as of right now, I don't hate you, Punk. You complete me.
And this boo this man.
No, hear me out.
Yeah. You tell him who you paid to see.
Hear me out. When I'm in the gym.
They were supposed to chant CM Punk there, though, and they missed it.
I'm using weights.
They missed that spot.
They didn't get your prime. I think about you, and the weight goes up. I'm an elimination chamber, first man in, 30 minutes in, burst eardrum, equilibrium off, can't possibly win that thing. I think about CM Punk, and I get the job done. You're my muse, man.
I can't hear a word you're saying. Why don't you come into this ring and speak into my good ear? Come on, you coward.
I would love to get in that ring, but I know what the people of Chicago are like. You probably have a weapon in there and you'll try and take me out before WrestleMania.
Great cheap heat.
Yep.
Great cheap heat. By the way, Troy, we need the Becky clip when she said cheap heat on the podcast last week.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now he crosses his legs and sits CM Punk style on the desk.
Punk, please. I know you want to be at WrestleMania bad. Real bad. You don't have to sneak in. I want you there. I want you to have a front row seat at WrestleMania because you honestly believe you should be in my position, but you shouldn't. And everybody's finally starting to realize what I've known all along, that Drew McIntyre has always been the chosen one.
Chosen one? Who chose you? Who? What was his name? Huh? You got the balls to say you're the chosen one? Tell me, what paragon of good virtue chose you? It wasn't the people in Chicago.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't the people in San Antonio when we went off the air on Monday Night Raw and they were saying, CM Punk. CM
Punk. That works. That one worked.
You have to guide them to it.
You ain't got to guide them. Hold their hands sometimes.
Yeah. Keep going. Get it in while you can, because you're going to be out for months still. This is your moment. This is exciting. I feel like a fan sitting here. But anyway, if you want to be part of the show, maybe, since I'm on the commentary desk, I've got an idea. I want you to have the front row seat. You're only good at talking, running that mouth of yours. So why don't you maybe be the guest commentator for the world title match?
I'll be nitpicky here, though. Why did Drew suggest this?
Yeah.
It didn't need to be suggested by Drew.
my fans.
It should have been suggested by anyone else. There's so many people who could have suggested this.
The only thing that makes it make a little bit of sense is when Drew's saying, like, I need you, you're my muse, and all of that, setting it up. I don't know if it was a good setup, maybe if he'd said it right then.
Matter of fact, I want you. No, you know what, though? Maybe he says, I want you to be there front row. And then Punk says, how about I do one step better? Michael Cole, Pat McAfee, how about I sit with you guys, whatever it may be.
Right. Yeah, that would have been
a little more seamless than. Yeah. Why is Drew McIntyre booking the commentary desk at WrestleMania? Right. I don't know if that makes sense. Just a thought. So real quick, we mentioned off the air, SUG, the Rhea Becky segment.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I loved it because they have been doing a lot of just talk, Rhea and Becky, throughout this. So Becky and Rhea bringing that intensity and getting actually physical, I thought was exactly what the moment needed for their match. Now, conspicuous by his absence was Seth Rollins. I'm like, do you not see a power couple in WWE is attacking your wife 2-on-1? Granted, she handled business because one half of that power couple was still Dirty Dom, no offense. But Seth Rollins could have at least popped up on the ramp, you know, something. I know he's involved in a lot of other things going on, but this is your wife here.
Yeah, that is a fair point by you. You're involved in a lot of different things.
Everybody else's business is your business, but your wife's business is her business. That's why she's got it.
Yeah, maybe you could get involved in this one too. By the way, how about Dominic randomly getting involved on SmackDown last week in the Santos Rey Mysterio situation?
Yeah, I liked it. I'm not going to lie because, I mean, Legado, Santos Escobar is building like a little, you know, a Latino version of Legacy. So it almost needs a Dominic Mysterio. And Andrade also, who they mentioned was a third generation superstar, he might need to, at some point, link up with Santos and the rest of Legado.
Could make sense, right?
Could.
It feels like they're still trying to figure out what exactly they want to do with Dom at Mania.
Yeah, because he doesn't have anything just yet. But I don't think a WrestleMania rematch with his dad makes sense. But also, I don't understand why we got Santos and Rey on SmackDown. I feel like that was something that could have been built toward a WrestleMania something in Philly. Even like the WrestleMania Friday SmackDown edition, you know? Or like the, you know, not the Raw after WrestleMania because those are SmackDown superstars, but something for WrestleMania weekend felt like it made more sense than just the Friday.
So did we hit the biggest points from yesterday, SGG?
Let's see. Becky punched Dom in the face.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't talk about how Judgment Day sort of dominated and R-Truth on commentary was, hilarious, man.
R-Truth is doing some of the funnier stuff.
He threw the commercial break and then, you know, just routine during the match. And then he tried to throw the commercial break to save himself from a beatdown. It was unsuccessful.
By the way, though, it should be noted. No matches have been added this week so far.
Not yet.
We're still looking at night one. There's a total of, in terms of known matches, there are 10.
Okay.
There are 10 total matches. What number do you think we need to get to?
Like 14. 12?
14 would be
seven,
good.
Seven, even 13, 14.
Yeah, I mean, listen, maybe you have a pre-show match or two. But I think 12 to 14 matches where we're looking to land.
Yeah. Oh, while I'm thinking about last night, something that we didn't touch on, and Ange Gold didn't bring this up and among any of his theories, there was a moment backstage where DIY, Awesome Truth, and The New Day, they're just having a conversation backstage. And in the background,
this was very cool.
Like, it was very hard to miss because they were in the center of the shot is Paul Heyman and Drew McIntyre. Mm-hmm. What do you think that was about? Do you think that was CM Punk related with Drew trying to soak in some of Paul Heyman's knowledge of CM Punk to give himself an upper hand at WrestleMania? Was this bloodline related with Heyman telling Drew that, well, look, now you're in a situation where we have a common enemy, so you should be able to work with us? What do you think that was about?
Yeah, I would think it's about, hey, I see you have problems with, you've got problems with Seth Rollins. You have a match with Seth Rollins. We have a match with Seth Rollins. I mean, I don't see how Punk really fits in. I mean, yeah, unless he's just giving advice.
And Drew did say he wants to work.
I don't know, SGG. I tend to think it's about the, yeah, it's a, there's a lot there. I don't know, but it's another thing that they're just doing well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, there's so much stuff. There's just like a lot of good stuff happening. Yeah. By the way, speaking of good stuff happening, I got an early look at the Bray documentary.
Oh.
And man, it is must see television. It is must see television. You are going to enjoy the Bray documentary on Peacock, which is dropping in, yeah, less than a week from now. So April 1st on Peacock. You are truly, truly, truly going to enjoy it.
I believe they mentioned something about a Bray Wyatt panel, Bray Wyatt Becoming Immortal panel, also from WWE World. Do you have any more information about that?
I don't know about that. So a panel about the doc.
Yeah.
Huh.
Presumably. That Michael Cole mentioned it, and then that was it. Maybe they show the doc and then have people talk about it. I don't know.
The way that they have Paul and Drew in the background is just, it's beautifully done.
Yeah.
They're just putting more attention to detail than we've gotten in a very long time.
Yeah. And it's subtle too. It's not like in your face with the commentators saying, like, you know, I watched the Mega Power exploding over the weekend, and it's like you were watching it, but they're also breaking down every beat. Like, how's Randy Savage going to feel about this and all that? Like, they literally walk you through the steps. And now it's just like, nah, this thing is going to happen in the background and it'll develop and you'll see.
You know what we should hit real quick? A little
mail.
Ryan says, hey, Sweet Pete, thought you might enjoy the Mage Plus confirmedness of this mint condition paper tablecloth from 1985 that my wife scored for my birthday. It almost felt like a sin to eat from it. Party decor was rounded out by a life-size Andre, a classic WWF ring centerpiece, a 1989 trading cards fanned out across the table. Nothing like turning 48 surrounded by your childhood heroes. So glad to have been a kid during wrestling's undisputed golden age. And yeah, you got a great wife, man. The WWF tablecloth with JYD, Iron Sheik, Hogan, Snuka, and Piper on it is something. Add away. All right, Ben writes us.
Mail.
I think Cody beats Roman for the belt, and we get him celebrating and joyous with the pyro going crazy. Get the Chiron. Then Cody gets viciously attacked by The Rock. Think of Ciampa beating up Gargano at the end of TakeOver years ago. After The Rock leaves Cody in a heap, Priest is able to cash in. It allows for Cody's story to end because he did beat Roman, but it still keeps Cody on the chase as a mega babyface that was wronged. It also mirrors Dusty's story with the title being taken away. Rock has talked about giving Cody's mom a bloody belt. Maybe this is how he accomplishes that. Of course, that was before the bloody belt that was made last night.
But I did say on this show, WrestleMania is the perfect setup for a cash-in. Even though Priest has his own problems with the tag team match, six teams, five other teams, and a ladder, the champions are all going to be having two matches. And the challenger, you know, even if Cody is one of the challengers, he's also having two matches. So they're sitting ducks for Priest by the end of night. of night two, especially Cody.
Yeah. By the way, if Priest doesn't cash in that weekend, I mean, enough's enough.
Yeah. Just hand Come it on. Over.
Come on now.
Mail.
Ryan, subject is Caitlin Clark getting the WWE treatment. He said, I had two screens going tonight, one on Raw and one on the women's Iowa game. And a few things struck me. First, how great of a gimmick is it that the women's NCAA is on campuses for the first two rounds? It creates Punk and Chicago level crowds for teams like Iowa and LSU, which gives the big draw teams an even better chance to the Sweet 16 and beyond. It's like a handicap match for the lower seeds, which if and when there is a 15-2 or 16-1 or even a 9-1 upset, it will feel like Kofi Mania or Daniel Bryan in New Orleans. By the way, that is dope.
Yeah.
Home games in the tournament actually does make an early game mage. Second, ESPN's announcers, and I assume those in women's basketball gorilla position, are inflating and in ways creating stats about Caitlin Clark to the point during games that I think it may become we've seen enough situation of turning fans against a Rushmore-level star. Tonight, they played up her breaking the single season scoring record with seasons that included NCAA tournament games. That's a stat no one really knew about and even cares about. Similar to how WWE and especially AEW gets into over-celebrating milestones that aren't milestones or just creating new titles to create these moments. No one really cares about some of these records Clark is breaking. Like people don't care about days a title's been held when it's a mid-card title. Gunther's a top five guy in the company because of his presentation and just overall mageness, not because he's been IC champ for 3,200 days, 154 hours and 16 minutes. Overhyping stats and giving everyone titles seems bigger and is unnecessary to just make fans, especially your most dedicated ones, start to turn on those same stars that WWE and the NCAA are trying to prop up. What are your T's, Leech in Boston? Very interesting thought.
Yeah, I don't think it applies in such a one-to-one way because yes, she may be breaking records that nobody cares about, but then there really isn't the argument of, you know, these stats were manipulated by creative or like it was planned. Like she at least has the air of legitimacy that sports has to hang her hat on and say like,
right.
But no, this wasn't like created or written for me or written for someone else that was then I was pivoted to do this. Like this is me.
But it is a thing, the bringing up ones that are like counting the tournament season so you get another scoring record. It's like, all right, yeah. let's calm down.
It is.
And Caitlin Clark is so over that her becoming a heel is always on the table. But she here's the thing about real life. She comes across right now as just a genuine babyface. So you'd have to have another, like if her and LSU play again and then she like steps on Angel Reese's back, you know, like you'd have to, something egregious would have to happen for the crowd, I think, to turn on her at this point. Cause it's just too hard to hate on someone who's pulling up from half court and nailing threes. It's just, it's too likable a trait in sports.
Exactly. Cause that's what we want to see, some of the showmanship. But also you mentioned her being such a natural baby face. That's why they're talking about these random stats and these random things that she's done that we don't think matters because everybody else is talking about her. So they have to find something to differentiate Caitlin, what they're talking about in terms of Caitlin Clark from the Caitlin Clark conversation that everybody else is having.
Everyone else already
has. That means that she's has the record of eating the most cheeseburgers and then dropping 30 points. They're gonna bring it up because nobody else is gonna bring it up.
Right. You're just at this point trying to make yourself
interesting,
sound different.
Mail.
Hunter writes us and said, "What's up, fellas? Did you happen to notice the truck in the background during the Rock's beatdown of Cody? With the belief that Austin and Cena will be at Mania, do you believe this was just a coincidence that an Austin and Cena truck was looking on? Or is it a WrestleMania Easter egg? I think it's the latter. Of all the places this brawl could have happened, WWE picks the one place where Cena and Austin are clear as day in the background as the whole thing is happening. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. What do you think?" So is the way, if that was the case, and that was the Easter egg, mm-hmm. is it going to be that we get bloodline rules and the deck is completely stacked against Cody? Maybe Seth loses and is hurt by Drew. He's unable to have his back. Maybe Jey Uso is brutalized in his match with Jimmy. He's unable to have his back. And when the bloodline is coming out, we get that moment, sort of like we did a few years ago in the Sting match.
Yeah.
And here comes Austin and Cena, the two biggest baby faces of all time, to stand next to Cody Rhodes.
Yo, that Sting Triple H match, the reveal when DX comes out, and then when NWO comes out a little bit later, that was hot though. Like that
The hottest.
The way they did that was
it was hot to the point, SGG, that people are understandably still mad that Sting lost that match because it was so hot.
Yeah, no, that was fire the way they revealed those two factions coming out. And I think we're gonna get something exactly like that for Bloodline Rules. It's the only reason that to me that stipulation was put on the table. It just makes sense that
if I'm telling you guys, as hot as the business is right now, if in this moment with the business on fire, we get a glass break moment, yo, I feel like I might hit a Ric Flair face first dive in front of everybody. I don't know if I'll be able to contain it.
Yes, it.
It will be the glass break. I also at the same time, from a like greediness standpoint, I kind of want to save it. I mean, God, I get so greedy because we just saw that Austin was somehow capable of having a match
and like not a. Let's be super cautious. Let's slow down. No, like a full tilt brawl all over the arena. Match like he never left.
You're telling me that with his sort of disappointment at the state he was in at WrestleMania 19, you're telling me he wouldn't want to have one more with The Rock to do it the right way?
Yeah. I mean, seriously. And back in...
And doesn't he owe The Rock one?
Back in Philadelphia. Back in Philadelphia where they had their first dance.
First Mania match.
The glass got to break, right? Like,
if not now, at some point, if The Rock's going to be around, the glass is going to break.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on.
Yeah, man.
Guys, we are just 9 days away from the heat and greet, and I'm sorry, the live cheap heat at Fringe Arts. If you haven't bought your tickets by now, if you don't know me by now, then you'll never, ever, ever know me. You know what I mean?
We can only hint at the fact that this is going to be special, but so many times, before you just end up having to miss it and then be like, damn, that was special.
And by the way, I have to tell you, just on a personal level, I recently, in the last couple of months, agreed and was fortunate enough that the folks at WWE agreed to have me stick around at WWE for a while.
That's right. I knew this already, but congratulations publicly, Pete.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Hold on, let me get the right one. Oh, that wasn't Morris. Respect me.
I thought you were about to hit me. You're not a winner.
We love you, Morris. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
But, man, I am so glad. You know how, like, listen, I've always said if my time working at WWE comes to an end, I had a hell of a run, and I'd be grateful for it. But this, getting to stick around one more time right now, mm-hmm. through this era that's about, like, that we're starting right now. Yeah. Truly, this is icing on the cake. I'm just so excited for this week, this WrestleMania weekend. I'm very, very excited. I don't even know exactly what I'm doing yet. Right. I don't have all my assignments yet. I just know I'm ready to be there. I'm ready to see all of you guys that Thursday. Natalie's excited. Everyone's very, very excited. Dipperstein's about to explode. If he even makes it, we don't even know. Dip may not make it. He may keel over between now and then, but God willing. So we look forward to seeing you guys. Send us your emails. Dip will be on the Friday show. RosenbergBeats@gmail.com. And SGG, do me a favor and stay rich.
Take it easy, man.
Greatest professional wrestler in the history of the art form.
Midge.